And welcome once again to EWTN's Bookmark. I'm Doug Keck, your host, a special Advent Christmas treat, at least for me, having our guest on the program is Father Joseph Mary Wolf, MFVA, talking about Advent and Christmas with Mother Angelica, published by EWTN. Always great to have you here and kind of the official spokesperson on Mother Angelica's books, and this another one with her insights taken from her many programs over the years. And we always have said many, many times that the more you read these things, the more you listen to them, the more prescient and the greater insights you seem that Mother already had, right?
That's right. It's always relevant, you know. And I think, especially today, you think about the crisis of loneliness, right? So that's what they're talking about, even with all the technology we have, that people
are worse.
It's even worse, right? That people are alone. And so Mother really hits that on the head, I think, because that's what she talks a lot about, her own growing up in that situation.
Well, it's interesting, too, because we're talking here about, you know, in a sense, trying to preserve Advent, because Christmas overwhelms Advent. Now Christmas is overwhelming Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I mean, my Lord, there's people putting Christmas decorations up, you know, the day after Halloween.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and so you by the time Christmas comes, they're ready to throw them in the garbage.
Right.
Rather than that being the beginning, really, of the Christmas octave, as Mother talks about in the book, right?
Yeah, that, and she actually saw that when she grew up, of course, she said, I hated Christmas and Thanksgiving. That's the first line in this book.
Right.
And you say, well, what is this about? Well, she is just talking about it was a miserable time for she and her mother because her parents were divorced, they were poor, they didn't have a Christmas tree, they didn't have, you know, a lot of gifts and so things, and they were somewhat shunned.
Right.
And so it was a miserable time for her, and a lot of people experienced that, right?
Right.
But that, it also kind of purified her to get back to the true meaning of Christmas.
Right. Well, it's tough, as you say, as she's talking about, because you know what you're going through. Meanwhile, you're seeing what is being promoted, you know, in our world, TV and internet or whatever, which appears to be everybody's having a great time. But certainly, even at her time growing up, people out Christmas shopping, people out doing these things, and you're, and it kind of reinforces or forces into you to pay attention to the fact of what you're missing.
Right. The Hallmark Channel, right?
Right.
So everybody's just having a wonderful time and the romance happens and all of that. And here you are alone in your house and nothing's happening and nobody's inviting you. And yet Mother, she talks about this experience when she was in the hospital Christmas Eve.
Right, right.
And the sisters had the midnight mass. Well, they called her and so she could hear the midnight mass on the telephone.
Right.
And afterwards, the sisters greeted her, but then she's alone, and it's dark, and it's quiet. But she calls it one of the best Christmases because she really focused on just being with the Lord, who himself was rejected by his own.
Right.
She'll often quote that passage from John chapter 1, right, that he came to his own, but his own received him not. And so Mother experienced somewhat of that rejection, too, with the divorce of her parents, especially at that time. And she could be alone with him, she could be with him, sharing her pain with his pain.
Right. And she mentions right in there, you know, as I look back, I can see I had the wrong idea of Christmas. You know, we all have the wrong idea of Christmas. And she talks about how it can be a tremendously depressing day unless you get the right spirit of Christmas and the right focus for Christmas. And that takes into understanding Advent in its proper place.
Yes, that's right. So that this is a time of preparing our hearts. So what does Jesus want? What does he want most of all? He wants our hearts. And that's where she encourages people who've been away from the church for a while, go to confession and say, you know, Lord, my heart hasn't been a welcome place for you, but now I'm making it ready for you so that you can come.
Right. Yeah, and she makes that point in the book because she's talking about the idea, don't forget, course, whose birthday it really is, and should we be getting gifts? He already gave us one, or we should be giving him one. And I thought one of them, to play off what you just said, she talked about the greatest gift you could give our Lord is maybe to go to confession.
Yeah, and how she and the sisters, what they would do, they'd have an empty manger there at the beginning of Advent, I think even earlier, November 11th, I think they started.
Right, yeah, and I was surprised it was so early, actually.
And that's kind of a Franciscan tradition, you begin this even earlier. And so they would put a piece of straw in there, which would represent some act of little charity that they had done or act of virtue, as a way to welcome Jesus, right, to say, I'm doing these acts of love for love of you, and here's a piece of straw to make you feel more welcome.
Right, the more you put in, the softer the bedding is, right, for the child Jesus. I thought it was interesting that one of the sisters say, well, if I do something bad, do I have to pull one out?
And mother said, no, you don't have to do that, right? So, but that's a way, and she encourages too, that families would think about ways, how can we communicate this to our children? You know, the television is telling you, got to have this, got to have that. And I remember looking through the catalogs, you know, before Christmas, I want this, I want that. And that's okay, but you want to focus more on the true meaning of this season, to be with Jesus and prepare for his coming and his birth.
Right, absolutely. And she talks about the idea, how are you going to go into Christmas? Are you suicidal? Do you dread Christmas? Or are you looking forward to it? She goes on to say, if I had a birthday, you would give me a gift to me, right? But you don't do that on Christmas, kind of like I was just saying. Mm-hmm. It's his birthday, and you give gifts to each other. That's kind of odd. I think we ought to go back to St. Nicholas on the 6th of December. She was talking about the idea, should we do it that, or Little Christmas on January 6th is for actually when we should exchange gifts to each other.
Yeah, so that's something that to be focusing on Jesus and his coming, and how am I going, what kind of a gift do I want to give him, and to give him these little acts of virtue, these little acts of love.
Right.
Like maybe going to a nursing home. She tells a story of this woman had 9 children, they never visited
Nobody
her.
Came to
and there's a lot of people like that in that situation. Well, here's a gift you can give to Jesus, right? That you're going to visit someone who's lonely, someone who's depressed, and you're going to try to just give them a little time, a little bit of love, a little experience of God's love that day.
Right, and just the reinforcing that insight that at the end of the day, you know, the material things, you know, they're transitory, they don't mean anything. What lasts is relationships and families, which is why, you know, seeing the abortion rate, seeing the breakup of marriages and things, and the not having children, and for people finding themselves near the end of their lives without having had 9 children, you know, not having any children or any great relationships with their extended family anymore, and being so alone.
And this is what really Christianity has brought to the world. Because prior to Christianity, pagans were fine with you just abandon your children, right? The Roman father could just abandon.
Spartans would put the child on the side of the hill. Yeah.
And the pagans, the children were just undeveloped human beings. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't really have any worth greater than, you know, a slave or so on. Mm-hmm. And so this is the thing, too, with this, you know,
absolutely. What's interesting too, and of course, Advent and expectation, and and Mother has a chapter here, the expectation of Mary, and then she refers to the Old Church, I guess, in the old rite, in a sense, the whole idea, the expectation of Mary on the 18th of December, I guess, a week out, so to speak. And the thing I thought was interesting, she said that Mary, when she went, you know, to Bethlehem, she was very versed in the Scripture, but all the things she prepared had to be left at home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was only her, Joseph, and the donkey. Whatever she normally would have thought of, all the things she would have counted on, she was stripped of those things too.
So disappointments, right?
Right.
Don't have to stand in the way of the true meaning of Christmas. I think that's the big point there, and it's a really beautiful point.
Right.
That you think of Mary preparing little clothes for the newborn baby, and you think of Joseph preparing a manger or a place for the child, and all suddenly, that's all, you can't take that with you. You don't have enough, you know, room to take that. But they didn't miss the true meaning of Christmas, and that's why they could still have joy in their heart, even in the midst of that.
Right. She says, how would you react if everything you prepared for Christmas was suddenly washed away, and you had to go to a city totally foreign to you, like Our Lady? Says she never lost the wonder of her expectation because her mind was totally wrapped around Jesus, and hence not the event. And that's where she goes to saying that the greatest line is, be it done to me according to thy will.
You know, I love something that she's taught in here, and I wish I would have thought of it when my mother was still alive. Give your mother a gift on your birthday, right? And I was talking with Teresa Tomeo, and she said, you know, her mother would say, you know, I went through the hottest part of the summer with carrying you. And my own mother, her sisters would tease her. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was born, I was the firstborn, right? Okay. And my mother said after that, never again, never again. Well, my sister was born a year later. But to think about what your mother went through.
Right.
And so when we think about that, to give your mother a gift on your birthday, but on the birthday of Jesus, how about give a gift to Mary too? And to think of her, how she was so generous too in welcoming him and saying, like you said, right, be it done unto me according to your word.
She says, she talks about the kind of Christmas nothing can take away. That's what you're looking for. Whether you get the same old tie you've got for 20 years, your husband buys you something that doesn't fit, or somebody opens a present you bought, and this is the one that you thought was so wonderful, and they say, what am I going to do with this? I wanted a bike.
That's right. And she's just in her own way, right, that's her no-nonsense way, she'll
right.
say, we say season's greetings. Well, what does that mean? You mean happy winter or happy snowman day? Or, you know, what does right. season's greetings mean? And we've gotten away from even using the word Christmas.
Though we're seeing a little bit of a pushback on that.
Yes, we are.
More
thanks be to God.
Are saying they really need that, right?
Yeah, and it means Christ Mass. So
right.
it was especially focused on the presence of Christ coming mm-hmm. at the midnight Mass.
Well, I thought that was interesting, too, because she mentions a couple of times in the book throughout about midnight Mass. You know, she said, you go to midnight Mass if you go, and you're all disgruntled because you go to Mass. And I remember asking my mother when I was a kid, why don't we go to midnight Mass? And she used to say, and Mother says it later, too many drunks.
There's a beautiful...
Especially back in New York in the old days, they roll out of the... They'd be celebrating
right.
Christmas Eve, and they roll out of the bars to midnight Mass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I love the little thing that she said about her mother. I really came to appreciate her mother's devotion, too.
Right, right.
How her mother...
Adoration and stuff, the spending
right.
the time with
so
her.
So when she had entered the monastery, her mother's completely alone
right.
at Christmas, but she's set two places, one for herself and one
for
Jesus.
Jesus. Yeah, right, right.
But not only that, so it also made her aware of Jesus' presence, and I'm sure he was, you know, in a particular way because she was welcoming him in this way.
Right.
But then she spent the afternoon in adoration. And she said, I bet she understood the true meaning of Christmas a lot better than many others. Because we get so distracted by these other things, right? Mm-hmm. And we forget the true meaning of Christmas.
Well, it's funny. Mother tells a funny story about trying to buy a tie for somebody who was, clerk was kind of confused about why none would want a tie. And,
right.
But she says, by the time it was over, she wanted to take every tie she showed me and wrap it around my neck.
Because she didn't buy any of them.
Right,
she went
right.
off to get something else and decided that was a better choice.
And she talks about Our Lady's view of the, he's coming, basically, you know, pointing towards our Lord in Advent, towards Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we don't have to be enslaved by what's necessary, what's in mm-hmm. our culture. We don't
right.
have to be so preoccupied that we forget whose birthday it is. And we all do, I think, for the most part.
We do. We get so caught up in, well, this person needs this, and I need to do that. And we're just caught up in the busyness of it. And she says one of the reasons, perhaps, the angels appear to the shepherds, because they're in the quiet all night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they weren't so busy that they were just caught up in so many other things mm-hmm. that God could speak to the shepherds because they're in the quiet, they're in the beauty of God's creation, and they were able to hear in that silence. So that was another element too she brings out, just the power of silence, because we get caught up with so much noise today, and maybe we just got Christmas carols right. going on and on and on, that we don't even hear our conscience, or we don't hear the voice of God. And she said it's actually easier to sin when there's noise,
right.
because you're not reflective, you're not hearing your conscience.
Right. It gets drowned out.
And so this is where silence is helpful too. And, you know, Father Angelus of happy memory, when he was in Papua New Guinea for 11 years, they would have a nativity scene, and he said the natives would just sit there for hours on Christmas Day, and they would just look at this scene.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like reflecting in silence on just this event.
Right, well, we're so used to moving and getting stuff done and being mm-hmm. utilitarian. And
right.
taking in information. She gives a couple of ideas. I think if you put part of your enthusiasm into your gift, I think the spirit of Christmas will be stronger inside of you. Why don't you go say, why don't you put a light in the window? It's a beautiful custom to say in this mm-hmm. house, in the darkness of the world, there's light in my house. She also says, spiritualize even buying your turkey.
Yeah. That why are you doing it? Well, I'm doing it, I'm going to buy this toy, for example, for my child. but it's for you, Jesus, for you, little Jesus. And this is something, too, that just the childhood of Jesus, she talks about really the whole span of Jesus' earthly life. There's something important he's teaching us in each element of his life, from his nativity, his cross, his resurrection. And what is he teaching us in his childhood? Mm-hmm. He's teaching us dependence. Pope Benedict talked about the defenseless love of God. He teaches us a new way of living and loving. So he's defenseless. He's just making himself vulnerable, and he's and who can't approach him when he's approaching us like that?
Right. In the chapter "Thy Will Be Done," she kind of does a little comparison between Zechariah and Mary and their kind of interactions with angels.
Right.
And she says, "You look everywhere, anywhere. There's no peace because peace doesn't come by law. Peace comes from the heart, and the only one who can bring peace is in the heart of Jesus." And then she talks about overcoming fear with Zechariah, and I thought this was funny. She said, now everybody says, oh, I wish I could see my guardian angel. She said, oh, I don't know if I wish that or not. I mean, this guy was scared to death.
Right. And how Elizabeth was probably grateful that he was quiet for a while.
Right.
That was another just humorous way that Mother puts this picture.
Right.
But so they both have a similar experience, Zechariah and Our Lady. Mm-hmm. But Mary doesn't understand, but she believes. Mm-hmm. Let it be done to me according to your word. Where Zechariah says, well, how can this be?
Right.
You know, with doubt. So that's the contrast, and that we follow Our Lady's example, of course, to go forward with faith.
Right. I never knew. Mother says, don't mess around with an angel. An angel doesn't have the patience of God. I never thought about it like that.
That's right. Yeah, there's so many gems here that we learn from Mother, and it's like hearing her voice over again.
Right, absolutely.
You know, and
the twinkle in her eye.
Her twinkle in her eye, and just her humor that just kind of catches you. You read something, and it just kind of makes you laugh a little bit.
Like this, did you ever stand in line for confession and think, somebody must have died in there? you ought to urge the knock on the door and say something, are you in there? By the time they come up, you've got about three or four more sins you want to confess, like murder, impatience, etc.
So she's very practical, right? She talks about our real experiences where we do get impatient. You know, we do get tired of waiting sometimes. And so just practical ways how we can give even that, the difficulties, the hardships of our life, and offer them as a gift to Jesus.
Well, she talks about in the chapter, making room for Jesus and seeing him in others, about the Holy Infant of Atocha. Mm-hmm. Talk about that connection with her.
Yeah, and she actually had a little statue of that. He's got a little hat, and he's got his sandals and things. And so this devotion in Spain.
He has dirty sandals.
He's got dirty sandals, right.
That so when you clean them off, they get dirty again.
That's right. The sacristan would keep saying, well, who's making these sandals dirty? Well, it ended up that the little child was becoming alive because at that time, prisoners could only be fed by their relatives.
Right.
The prison wasn't providing food for them. Their relatives had to bring food, and some of them didn't have relatives that would bring them food. So the little child was bringing them food, is what they discovered. But it's just another charming way, you know, in which God shows his simple love for us and how we are called too to be children, right? And just to have that simple faith.
Even if Mother would say, I hear my liberal friends saying, oh, there she goes with that pietistic stuff again.
Yeah, that's right. You know, one of the things I remember about Mother, and I'll never forget it, was at the midnight mass, she always sang a solo. Mm-hmm. And I can still hear her alto voice, her beautiful alto voice. The child shall be king one day, you know, and she just would sing it with all of her heart, and she just had a love. That's really a Franciscan heart, the Franciscan's love, you know, the nativity. Mm-hmm. Because St. Francis of Assisi himself created that first nativity scene. And Mother certainly had that. She loved Christmas. And,
right, definitely.
Yeah.
That's for sure. What are you going to give to Jesus and to his mother? How many of you wives have ever given a present? Oh, this is going to knock you cold to your mother-in-law on your husband's birthday. Oh boy, I mean, this is one big fat zero.
And she said, maybe you should call up an enemy on Christmas Day and be reconciled with them, or maybe your mother-in-law say, hello, battle axe. Well, maybe don't put that part in,
right.
She says. So Mother had a way of just, you know, making us all laugh a little bit at ourselves and our reactions and our sometimes how we
treat one
another.
Because it all rings so true. We've all experienced it, you know. And that's why we chuckle. Even the idea of keeping Jesus in Christmas, she talks about, you're coming to my mother's house. No, you're going to my mother's house. Well, we'll go to your mother's house in the morning and my mother in the afternoon. What a way to celebrate Christmas. You know, we argue, we fuss, we fume. We don't like the turkey. The gravy's too salty. My mother never did know how to make a pumpkin pie. It looked like a truck ran over it.
Yep. So we need to get back to the true meaning of Christmas, and then all these things are secondary, right? They're nice things, and it's wonderful family time. I have happy memories of my own childhood and going to grandma's house and all of those things. Just very
Did you go through the woods?
We didn't have so many woods in Iowa, but we did have cows.
Okay.
And that was, you know, we had to milk the cows Christmas Eve. But that became a reflective moment for me, too.
Was it really?
This was how Jesus was born, you know, that he was in a stable with all the smells and the hay and all of those things. And, but not everybody, you know, has those beautiful experiences. So if we get to the true meaning of Christmas, I think she's talking to a depressed lady who had called in about her own being depressed at this time of the year. And Mother said, just think of Jesus for 5 minutes. I thought that was such great advice. Just all of the things that you're upset about or miserable about, just think about being with Jesus for 5 minutes.
And she said, you know, he didn't come to receive, he came to give.
Yeah.
Good for it. And she also mentions the idea, why don't you sing happy birthday to him before you open up your gifts? Or even, she says, offer him the rosary.
Yeah.
Before you open your gifts.
What if we prayed before that and just thank God for the blessings of that year? That's what we try to do, right? We have our Christmas celebration for the EWTN employees.
Right.
And whenever I offer that opening prayer, I just thank God for getting us through another year of his providence. And I think every family can really pray that prayer sincerely. Lord, you got us through another year. And thank you for coming for me. Mother wants us to thank the Lord for coming. For coming for me, coming to save me. Because when you think about the incarnation, he came to unite himself to all humanity, but he came to unite himself to you personally.
Right.
And I heard a sister give a talk recently, and she was saying, if you don't speak to the Lord in your heart, nobody else is going to. So that's a way in which that he loves us as if nobody else existed in our hearts. Because if we don't love him, if we don't speak to him, nobody else is going to.
Right. In a couple of chapters, how to approach Christmas when a loved one is suffering. She also talks about losing a loved one before Christmas. If you lose a loved one before Christmas, I think you're going to miss them. There's no way you can't. I think that the first Christmas without that person is always the hardest one. We can be consoled, but we can't be filled yet.
Yeah, there is that process of grieving, and it is going to be difficult. But again, if we can focus on the true meaning of Christmas and being with Jesus and making little acts of love during the season of Advent as a way to prepare for his coming, to clean up our heart and to make it a worthy manger for him to come and to dwell, a soft place where he can come, right? Because we're doing these little acts of charity. Like St. Teresa of Avila used to say that every little act of love or every little expression of love, Jesus, I love you, makes your heart warm and it makes it a more welcome place for him to come.
She talks in the section how Jesus elevates our life. Really the only gift that you and I can give to Jesus is our sins and our will. That's all that's mine. Everything else comes from him.
It's all a gift. You know, if we really think about it, and I talk a bit about this morning too, is that Thanksgiving. You know, St. Paul, if you read his writings, again and again he says, prayer with thanksgiving, or in all circumstances, offer thanksgiving. That this is the chorus of heaven, one of thanksgiving, of gratitude. And we get so caught up in our own problems or misery sometimes that we don't see the bigger picture, which are the reasons for gratitude. Even in this life, you know, the blessings that the Lord gives us and that he gifts to us in so many ways, but especially eternal life that he's preparing for us, that we have far more reason to be grateful than to be miserable.
Right. So are you seeing a change at all, do you think, in your experience as a priest, that mm-hmm. people are becoming a little more reflective?
I guess in some places, mm-hmm. yes. I think people are trying to do that, and they're doing these devotions like the Jesse Tree. Mm-hmm. So we've encouraged people to do the Jesse Tree, which is a way in which you're going through the prophecies and the Old Testament right. figures and all of that. I think that's a beautiful way for your children to grow in just kind of the history and the preparation and the longing, and then finally
right, and it comes. Gives you something to do mm-hmm. that kind of pushes back on the Christmas overwhelming Advent.
Right. So I think those parents can figure out just some okay. wonderful ways to be able to do that, to help their kids to really get in the spirit of Christmas. Okay.
Very good. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure, my friend.
You too.
To speak to you about anything. Father Joseph Mary Wolfe, MFVA, Advent and Christmas with the one and only Mother Angelica. Well worth checking it out, well worth the price, through EWTN's religious catalog, proudly published, of course, by EWTN, available through our catalog, as I said. I'm Doug Keck. This has been Bookmark. We shall see you next time. Thanks for joining us.